layout of the buildings, reporting to Trader within the hour, and giving him a sketch plan that showed the relevant points of strength and weakness. The Ville of Baron Wayman was solidly built, looking as though it probably dated from around the latter half of the 19th century. The outer wall was a dozen feet high, granite, tipped with iron points, some of which had corroded and rusted. Threads of razored barbed wire still hung here and there, plaited around the remaining spikes. In its day, it had to have been a formidable barrier, but now it wouldn't have stopped a determined 10-year-old. There was a set of double gates made from wrought iron in a complicated pattern of leaves and vines. Two Sekhmen stood by the gates, each holding a crossbow. Beyond them, there was a cobbled courtyard, with the house closing in on three of its sides. The first floor windows were barred, with iron-bound Sekh shutters. A wide path led around the side of the building to what Ryan guessed was probably the stable area of the Ville and the Sekh force's living quarters.
What a fine building! Such a truly superb setting at the foot of the mountains.
Trader looked at Doc as though he had serious doubts about the older man's sanity.
What you are looking at, Doc, is a pretty peach with a rotten center that is just sitting here waiting to be plucked.
You're the outlanders that Rainey warned us to expect?
Ryan turned to face the guard.
Yeah.
Well, go straight on through. A main door to the Ville's ahead of you. Rainey's inside someplace. Likely he'll take you to meet Baron Wayman.
They filed through the gates. Ryan turned and looked back along the trail, JB stopping at his shoulder.
Thinking what I'm thinking?
I'm thinking that the trees and bushes should be cut right back for a good 100 paces. Where they stand now, any stoop muty could crawl in close enough to rush the gates.
Crossbow can be deadly in the right hands, but it's one of the slowest weapons in Deathlands. It could take 15 or 20 seconds to crank it up and lose a second bolt.
And in 20 seconds, a charge could be through the gates and into the house.
Right. For a man on watch, assuming that there's a serious shortage of decent blasters, give me a good yew longbow every time.
Yeah. Seen Apache and Oglala have 6 arrows in the air at once from a longbow.
You two coming in?
Christy stood by the heavy front door to the Ville. Bill Rainey appeared behind her, with a young boy at his side. Ryan immediately saw the passing resemblance between his own son and Baron Wayman's boy. But Dean was more strongly built, broader across the shoulders, and his hair was longer. And he carried a Browning high-power 9mm handgun at his hip.
Come ahead, Outlanders. Baron's waiting to greet you. Dean, come and meet Jamie Wayman.
Dean took a couple of steps, giving a casual half-wave to the other boy, who came directly down the short flight of stairs, his hand extended toward Dean.
Welcome, Dean Cotter. Welcome to my father's Ville.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Dean hesitantly shook the other boy's hand.
Think they'll hit it off, lover?
Maybe.
A large entrance hall led toward a wide staircase of stone. The carpet had obviously once been rich and ornate, but now looked dusty and threadbare. The walls were wood-paneled, with rectangular spaces where paintings had probably once hung. There was a notable absence of any kind of decoration. No decent draperies, no china, no furniture of note, just the barest essentials. Rainey led the way up the stairs toward a shadowed landing with a number of doors. Ryan followed, with the rest of the group trailing along behind him. Dean and Jamie Wayman brought up the rear.
I heard that you and your companions had a confrontation with the mutated pigs.
Yeah.
Was the legendary wild boar called the General among them?
Maybe.
It has a damaged tusk on one side. That enables one to recognize it.
Yeah, it did.
What does your father do for his living?
Ryan half turned, wondering what his son would reply to that one.
Helps people.
Helps them, Dean. That's really most interesting. How does he do that? Is he a teacher of some sort, or perhaps he is a doctor?
Mildred's a doctor.
Ah, I must admit that your father didn't appear to be the sort of a man who would have medical skills. Oh, I hope you don't mind my saying that.
No.
They reached the top of the stairs, and the conversation briefly halted. Christy was right at Ryan's shoulder.
I never heard a more grown-up little man than that Jamie Wayman. He talks better than I do, and he can't be more than 11 years old. Can't see him and Dean really becoming the closest of friends, can you?
Well, Ian.
Hey, everybody, follow me. This way.
They traveled along the corridor, past shuttered casements, pausing before a closed door.
Baron's in there. When you're finished, come on down to the eating room. left at the bottom of the stairs. And I'll get some food rustled up for you.
Enter.
The sec boss turned and strode away along the passage, ruffling his fingers through the hair of the two boys as he did so. The companions entered the hall. The room was so dimly lit, with heavy shutters drawn across the windows and only a single oil lamp for illumination, that Ryan thought for a moment that there was nobody there. Then he saw a gray figure, wearing a gray coat, sitting in a deep gray armchair to one side of an empty fireplace.
Come in, Outlanders. I hear from Bill Rainey, excellent fellow, incidentally, that you are on your way. As far as Bill is concerned, ask him if there's anything you want or need. Food, beds, that sort of thing.
The man waved a languid hand.
But do come in where I can see you properly. Oh, is that my son and heir I spy bringing up the rear as usual?
Good day, Father. This is my friend Dean. He's the same age as I am, aren't you, Dean?
Yeah.
I'm delighted to meet you all. You're Ryan Carter, aren't you? Fellow who's a little deficient in the optical area.
What?
The Baron simply means that you have only got one eye.
Oh, right, yeah. Should I introduce you to the others?
No. Not here and not now. There is some sort of poor meal prepared for you. She'll join you there in a short while. Do go on down and enjoy whatever humble repast there is on offer. Jamie, perhaps you would remain with me for a few moments longer?
Of course, Father. Can Dean stay too?
I think not. He should go with his friends. You will have plenty of time to see him later. Now, Outlanders, off you go to eat.
Like young children being dismissed by their wise and elderly principal, they all filed out, JB quietly closing the door behind them.
That man needs his balls pushed into his throat. Who the fuck does he think he is treating us like that? If we had the war wags here, we could blow his penny-ante villain to the mountains.
I didn't think he was that bad.
Shows what a piss-poor judge you are, Cone. Always were, always will be.
I'm Abe, Trader. I wish you'd get my name right.
Trader turned on Abe, looking for a moment like he might smash him to the floor of the corridor with the butt of his Armalite. He restrained himself with visible effort.
I'm trying, for Christ's sake, Abe. You think I'm not trying?
Break it up, friends. Last thing we want in a Strangeville is to get ourselves locked at one another's throats.
They moved toward the head of the stairs. JB eased the Smith and Wesson on his shoulder.
Wayman didn't seem that bad. Talks like he swallowed a word book, but he's kindly to us. Not many barons in Deathlands greet outlanders as friendly as that, do they, Trader?
Maybe and maybe not. Just that I never liked a man thought himself so clever.
Indubitably.
Right.
Dean?
His kid's the same. All smart ways of saying things to put you down and make you feel small.
What did I tell you, lover?
Let's go eat.
Rainey was waiting, leaning against the frame of a door. He gestured with his thumb.
In here. Baron said he was going to come down and join you, didn't he?
Yeah. You mean he won't?
The sec man rubbed a finger along the side of his narrow, hooked nose.
Baron has a funny way of talking. You probably heard that. But he's straight as a crossbow quarrel. Steadfast, loyal, and true. That's Baron Wayman. But he sometimes loses track of time. He's got a collection of pre-doc coins up in his rooms. He takes them out and stares at them through a bigger glass, hours on end. Anyway, come and sit down. I'll tell the kitchen staff to get their asses into gear.
The refectory table was a good 30 feet long, carved from a single length of wood, and easily the finest article of furniture that they'd so far seen in the bill. The dishes were brought out by a gaggle of young women, most of them unable to stop staring at Jack, while the albino teenager completely ignored them. The food was much better than they'd eaten in the brushwood gypsy camp. The soup, so thick you could almost have sliced into it with a knife and fork, was flavored with delicate herbs and pulses. Salmon in a pastry shell was smoked over oak chips and served with leeks in a cream and wine sauce.
If the main course is going to be pork,
I'll take a rain check on it.
Better to eat those muti porkers than to be eaten by...